Oh, where is this radio program for seniors? I can't find it. Errol, what's this radio thing called that we're looking for seniors?
Oh, I don't know, Arthur. Isn't it wireless something or something wireless? You should have written it down when I told you to.
Hang on. I think this might be it.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
Found it.
Hello and welcome back to Radio Coda, a weekly podcast radio show for older Queenslanders, proudly brought to you by the Council on the Ageing Queensland. I'm your host Andy Neal, and as always, it's great to have your company. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, and let's see what we've got in store for you on the show this week.
Founded in 1957, Council on the Ageing, CODA Queensland, is a not-for-profit organisation advancing the rights, needs and futures of people as we age. Working in partnership with the Queensland Government, local councils, community organisations and the community to create an age-friendly Queensland. To join or to find out more, visit cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348.
Listening to Radio Coda.
Radio Coda has been created for you, our listeners. Email us at radiocota@cotaqld.org.au to give us your feedback, offer topic suggestions, share your stories and let us know what interests you. Radio Coda is funded by the Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services in Queensland. Send us a line, we would love to hear from you.
Following on from our conversation with Todd Rule last week, we're making good on CODA's call to action to start the conversation, asking older Queenslanders what they really want in their home when they retire, as opposed to the options currently being given to them by planners, builders and governments. We chatted with Marg, Helen and John, and here's what they had to say.
I'm Marg, and at the moment we live on acreage, and I think if we were to downsize, and I know we would have to at some stage, is that I couldn't see us going to very high density housing. I think we need to still have some space, but the issue we have at the moment is transport, with the closest bus station 6 kilometres away. At the moment we can't catch a bus without driving, and eventually that's going to be an issue for us. As far as the house is concerned, we do have a number of spare rooms at the moment, but they are all taken up with stuff. And at some point, we know that we're going to have to go through and also dispose of some of that as well. I think one of the things that's important in a house is to have some outdoor living area, particularly in Brisbane. So that adds another dimension to your living space without it being an additional room.
So a gated community or retirement village wouldn't be something that you would consider because it wouldn't suit your needs?
Not necessarily, no. We have a thing about gated communities. We are fairly independent. I understand the social side of that. We're quite social with our neighbours at the moment, even though we are on acreage, and that suits us. We wouldn't see us going into a gated community, but we could see ourselves moving a little bit closer to Brisbane.
So with the housing options that are available at the moment that are being built for people, you kind of told what's available to you. Would any of those suit your needs at the moment?
Probably not completely. I think it's just being very close to the neighbours. I also feel that a lot of the larger estates at the moment, they have very limited street parking space. The blocks are smaller. So if you were to have your family visiting, or even just a party with more than 5 or 6 people, parking is going to be an issue. But we also love the bush, and we've got the best of both worlds at the moment. Walk out our back door and there are trees there and there are birds. So we really appreciate that environment. But we do know that we will need to move out eventually. We have to rely on a car at the moment, and we're only 25 kilometres out of Brisbane. So that's the issue, and also the facilities. Ideally, it would be good to be able to walk to a local shop, medical facilities closer by. And I know that if you want those, you're going to have to go into more intense housing. But I can see in the future that we are going to have to go closer into a smaller block, a smaller house. Smaller house doesn't necessarily worry us, but I think just having that outdoor area would be nice. The blocks of land, yes, they are very small at the moment, but the street parking to me is an issue.
And a lot of high set places, because the land size is so small, for people who are ageing, that can become an issue as well. There's some smaller houses that are low set being built, but a lot of those are considered social housing. And people don't want to live in social housing necessarily, you know. So what we're trying to do at CODA and with the Planning Institute of Australia is start this conversation so that builders and the government can listen to the consumer, as opposed to just offering a couple of different options and actually listen to what people want.
We wouldn't have a high set house. At the moment, walking up and down wouldn't be a problem for us. But as we get older, I think it would be. Two bathrooms, I think, would be good, even if there's just the two of us. Hopefully not going to be socially isolated, so it'd be good to have a second bathroom and at least one spare bedroom. I think a garage is important too. That encourages people to have hobbies that you wouldn't necessarily have in the house. So I think that's quite good too, because then that gives you an added dimension to what you can do with your lifestyle. Enough space for a garden, that can be a hobby in itself. I think that's very important, particularly if people are coming in from a larger block, had a garden. I think the type of housing that is small, on a small road, small blocks, would probably suit people who may think about going to a unit. So there is a place for that. But from our perspective, we like to be independent, maybe not such a big house at the moment, and not so much of a block of land, which is getting an issue for us at the moment, particularly during the summer. So we have to pick the cooler weather, and that's really the only time we can really try and keep it maintained. That's the biggest issue for us at the moment, is a bigger block. A quarter acre would be ideal, but I understand also that, you know, land is getting fairly scarce and it is becoming more intense.
What about the privacy side of things?
That can be a problem. I mean, I don't know how much planning goes into putting houses beside each other, but I think the planning could be better. But it means that perhaps a whole row or two rows of houses need to be planned one towards the other, so that windows are not facing into particular private areas.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you can't just plonk a house that fits. It also has to have a relationship to the house next door. Perhaps the plantings, if that's going to be part of the block before it's sold, privacy, hedging, that's essential. Privacy is a big issue for us. That's why we came to Acreage. We had come from an area that was not as private, and that's the one thing that we enjoy about that. Having the neighbours close enough, but still having that buffer. The privacy buffer that's an issue, not necessarily the size of the block.
Nobody can predict the future. Planning ahead can bring peace of mind to you, your family, and your friends. Planning ahead can help you feel more confident that your financial, health, and personal wishes will be respected and followed if you are unable to act yourself. CODA Queensland have developed information sessions about planning ahead and how to identify key people in your life who know and respect you, and should they be required, will act on your wishes. CODA Queensland is offering these free sessions to discuss the importance of enduring powers of attorney. Trained peer educators will meet with your seniors group to provide information, resources and ideas to assist people to think about this topic and to start taking action now. Sessions are delivered in a user-friendly way by older Queenslanders who are trained in the topic, and they volunteer their time and their skills. These one-hour sessions are free, interactive and available until May 2018 in various locations throughout Queensland. If you're part of a seniors group and think this session would benefit your members, contact bookings@codaqueensland.org.au or phone 1300 738 348 for more information or to make a booking. A CODA Queensland team member will then contact you to arrange a peer educator and confirm the booking. This project is funded by the Queensland Government, Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services, with the support of the Public Trustee.
You're listening to Radio COTA.
My name's Helen Morder. I'm in my 70s now, and being the age I am, I don't feel old at all, but there's a lot of things I've got to consider. I'm finding life, for me, is what I want at the moment. The family's all grown and they're all settled. My husband loves his garden. He's got his little hobby and he spends hours in his garden and he loves it, which is good. He loves to cook. I'm finding that I'm at home with a lot of time on my hands.
So did you work previously?
Oh, yes. I've been in business with my husband for many, many, many years. And now I'm finding that I've got to make a lot of decisions, as I'm finding my home is really big. But because I grew up in a very big family, I like to keep my old home. I mean, my big family home. It still reminds me how I grew up. It was a wonderful feeling going to my mother's place. I felt part of the family, And when my mother passed away, you can feel the difference that it's not like it used to be. It was like, hey, where are all the kids, meaning my brothers and sisters? But unless we make the effort to go and see each other, there's just no more time. You don't make the time like you used to. So now what do I do with my house? I'd like to stay there a few more years if I can. And then, yes, I probably would like to get something smaller. But I've got a lot of friends who are already in that position. But I did not realise how hard it was to find a small place, a standalone, which is just impossible to get, as a little two- or three-bedroom home. It's just not out there. And if they're out there, they just get snapped up. They're looking for a low set, looking for something more practical.
Would they have considered moving into a retirement village or a gated community? Or
not as yet, because two of them are both still working and very, very independent. They're still a few years younger, but no.
At the moment, what we're seeing is there's only three or four options for people if they do want to relocate or downsize. What do you think would suit you and your husband, and is it available?
My husband would definitely not want to be in a retirement village because he still loves his gardening. He even has chickens in the garden.
And it would be maintaining that independence as well.
Yes. A few years back, my daughter was living with me. She was with me for about a year and a half. And I found that a little bit hard, but it was so rewarding. And I quite enjoyed it because I come from a big family background, that she did the cooking, I'd do the cleaning. That's another aspect that I was thinking of, if I could have one of my children live with me. But then as we get older, we like our quiet time because the children do tend to get a little bit noisy, but they give you so much enjoyment and they're learning. And I think it's wonderful for the children today to have somebody elderly around them.
But you could have a granny flat out the back. We're only shown a few options. So what we're trying to do is get people to think outside that box.
You know what I think is good too? This friend of mine, she bought a little place, 3-bedroom. She was very lucky to find this. She's got a little backyard, low set, and I think it's ideal. Okay, she's had to give her big house. She sold that. But because she's been such an independent woman and she loves to do everything and still works, I think it's wonderful if you can find a place like that. Once she gets to know all her neighbours. But yes, there's a lot of decision making to do.
Every time the power bill comes in, I feel like it's been written in another language. It's just so hard to understand. Prices are forever changing and those tariff thingies are so confusing.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. My old mate Bert was saying there were changes made in the electricity market last year, which means electricity retailers can charge us whatever they want. Bert said it also means now that we can shop around for a better deal.
Be that as it may, Arthur, it's all too confusing, and I just don't have the time to be chasing around trying to sort it all out.
Well, you won't have to worry about that, Beryl. Have you heard about the Switched On Seniors?
No, I haven't. Switched On Seniors sounds like some kind of head-banging rock band.
Ah, you're a funny old bird you are, Beryl. No, it's a free information session that's being offered to seniors groups, and it helps explain all the electricity changes.
Well, that certainly sounds like a good idea, Arthur. Do you think they'd do one of those information sessions where our seniors group usually meets?
Well, that's the great part. You know that Radio Kota podcast thingy we listen to each week? Well, apparently the Kota Queensland people have what they call peer educators, and they travel all over southeast Queensland visiting seniors groups just like ours.
Well, that certainly makes it a lot easier. Let's sign up for that then.
I totally agree with you, my darling. So can you get on to organising that, please? I'm just a wee bit busy at the moment.
Busy? You're sprawled out in that old armchair of yours watching the cricket. Don't put your feet on the coffee table. You must have been born in a shed.
Opportunities are limited, so book early to secure a session for your seniors group or organisation. Visit www.cotaqld.org.au to obtain a booking form or email bookings@cotaqld.org. QLD.org.au.
What are we listening to?
Radio Kota.
I'm John Green. I think there's generally enough of a spread of options for most people these days, other than maybe people with particular needs. and they might be people with disabilities, etc., where their options are contained a great deal. But if people have still got some assets and some money to spend on their housing, something they can own, well, there seems to be quite a significant variety available for them that I can see anyway.
If you were downsizing or if you were looking at retiring, what would be the ideal home for you?
Probably at the moment where we are is ideal for us. We moved from a bigger house to a smaller house, single level, on a small block of land with a small garden and no need to do any mowing. We're big enough for ourselves and for family to visit. So three bedrooms, two bathrooms and a double garage. And that's quite a livable option for us.
That's interesting you say that, because that's exactly what every other person I've spoken to has said would be their ideal home. Seems to be a common theme coming up.
Yeah, I can understand it because it certainly suits our living conditions and by observation many other people. Of course, one of the important criteria is location. So always considering where it is and also the design of the house, something that's friendly to the environment. Because after all, we all face bills in a home and we want a home that stays reasonably cool in summer and reasonably warm in winter without us using secondary heating or cooling sources if we can.
What about facilities and transport and shops and coffee shops? Is that important as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I think from what I can see of our peer group, that's really important. You know, where we live now, we can walk to the coffee shop. You have to drive to a supermarket. That's all fine. So being in a place that has access to services is really important for us. And again, from people we talk to, it's very similar to them. You know, they might be in a regional town, but on the other hand, they live in the city area where they have health, entertainment, friends, relatives nearby, that kind of thing. Or in an urban environment, the same thing. We live kind of 30K from the Brisbane CBD. However, we have quite a nice local environment incorporating all those features and facilities.
Anything missing from where you live? Anything that you could have, you know, on your wish list that would be there that currently isn't?
Yeah, look, that's a good question. It might be to do with the surrounding community. Probably what we've talked about is the features of a living environment, but really the first question, so really it's a good point you make, is the people. Any living situation is very dependent on the community. If we live in a community that we find have similar values to ourselves, similar interests and desires, and maybe, I guess to a large degree, an age group around us that's, as well as being diverse, but also a core similar to ourselves, so we've always got someone to talk to and, I guess, get along with. Because maybe our future on the planet, if we look at the science, as we're being told by the CSIRO and the Bureau of Meteorology, we could face a very different climate in the future than we've got now. And if that's the case, maybe we're going to be called on to be able to get along together a lot more than we are now in order to get through any challenges we might face. An example would be the communities that face the damage from cyclones and have to band together, because it's probably getting harder for governments to provide the services after something of that kind. In fact, when we shifted out of Melbourne some time ago, we drew up a list of features of a given location where we identified some of the prime needs that we might have. And top on the list was the community we're moving into, people that make up that community, as being the number one, really.
I'll light the fire while you place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
The bravest thing, oh, the truth is a beautiful thing. Oh, the truth is a beautiful thing.
On the 18th of May this year, the Disabled People's Organisations Australia sent a statement to the Australian Government asking to end the violence and call a Royal Commission into Violence and Abuse Against People with Disability. This is a statement. We are a diverse range of organisations from across Australia, including organisations of people with disability, advocacy organisations, peak bodies, violence prevention organisations, and a range of other organisations, groups and individuals from throughout the Australian community. Collectively, we have substantial and direct knowledge of the violence and abuse experienced by people with disability in Australia. The issue is systemic. The evidence is extensive and compelling. The violence can no longer be ignored. An ABC Four Corners report aired in November 2014, entitled In Our Care, detailed horrific violence perpetrated against people with disability in residential settings. In Our Care lifted the lid on the scourge of sexual violence and other forms of violence perpetrated against people with disability. It uncovered how whistleblowers were targeted and persecuted, their warnings not acted upon. It exposed deliberate and systematic attempts by management to cover up the violence and silence the survivors. In January 2015, Peak Disability Advocacy Groups renewed the campaign for a national inquiry by writing to the Prime Minister. The letter was endorsed by over 95 state and territory-based disability and other organisations from around Australia, supported by over 11,000 signatories to a petition calling for an inquiry. In response, a group of senators referred the matter on the 11th of February 2015 to the Senate Community Affairs References Committee. The subsequent Senate inquiry into violence, abuse and neglect against people with disability in institutional and residential settings found that violence and abuse against people with disability in Australia is prolific and systemic, Australia's hidden shame. It established that violence and abuse against people with disability in Australia is an epidemic and an issue of national significance. The inquiry found that a Royal Commission into the issue is urgently warranted. The Senate inquiry found that people with disability experience untold levels of violence and abuse across a range of institutional, residential and private settings, including disability and mental health service systems, aged care, childcare schools and educational settings, hospitals, prisons and at home. The inquiry uncovered systemic failures in the legislation, policies and service systems that are designed to protect all people from violence and abuse. A more recent ABC Four Corners report, Fighting the System, provided further evidence of violence and abuse against people with disability. It detailed extensive patterns of violence and abuse in residential settings. It highlighted that responses to violence and abuse against people with disability in Australia remain inadequate, incompetent, and unjust. In March 2017, the Australian Government provided its formal response to the report of the Senate inquiry into violence, abuse, and neglect against people with disability in institutional and residential settings. In its response, the Australian Government ruled out a Royal Commission on the basis that it does not consider that a further inquiry is needed. It argued that the National Disability Insurance Scheme Quality and Safeguarding Framework will protect the rights of people with disability and ensure where there is an incidence of abuse and neglect of people with disability, it is addressed as a priority. While the NDIS Quality and Safeguarding Commission announced in the Federal Budget 2017-18 is welcomed, it will only provide protection to people with disability who directly access NDIS supports. This equates to less than 10% of the total number of people with disability in Australia. Neither the Commission nor the NDIS Quality and Safeguarding Framework will have the scope to identify and address systemic issues outside its mandate. It will not cover the range of settings in which people with disability experience violence, nor the multiple forms of violence that people with disability experience. It will not hold individuals, organisations and systems accountable for past injustices. It is not the answer. On the 17th of May 2017, more than 120 academics from around Australia signed an open letter urging the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, to act on the headline recommendation from the Senate inquiry and establish a Royal Commission into Violence Against People with Disability. The letter was the basis of ABC's Late Line report that detailed further disturbing stories of chemical restraint, abuse and neglect in disability group homes. A Royal Commission is the only mechanism that can provide a comprehensive, independent and just response to all forms of violence and abuse against people with disability. People with disability in Australia deserve nothing less. A Royal Commission into Violence and Abuse of People with Disability will have legal powers to enable people with disability to tell their story and give evidence in a safe and supported way without fear of retribution or reprisal, compel witnesses and representatives of service systems to appear and be cross-examined under oath, thoroughly examine forms of violence that are specific to people with disability which have been ignored in most other inquiries, shed light on and respond to the incidence and prevalence of all forms of violence perpetrated against people with disability, including the range of settings in which such violence occurs, refer criminal allegations to the police and hold perpetrators and systems to account, interrogate legislative and service systems responses to violence and abuse against people with disability, provide resourcing to enable the full and meaningful participation of people with disability, including those in institutional settings, travel to capital cities, regional centres and towns to hear evidence and pursue open processes, commission research and inform policy development, make recommendations on legal reform, policies, systems and practices to create a safer future for all people with disability and ensure justice for victims through the provision of redress. Only a Royal Commission can provide a just response to people with disability who have been denied justice for so long. We call on the Australian Government to actively support a Royal Commission into Violence and Abuse of People with Disability. This civil society statement was coordinated by Disabled People's Organisations Australia and is endorsed by 163 civil society organisations and 383 individuals. For more information on this statement, please head to dpoa.org.au. www.disabledpeoplesorganisations.org.au.
Would be a beautiful thing. Oh, the truth is a beautiful thing.
A few words from the Honourable Coralie O'Rourke, Queensland Government Minister, in regard to World Elder Abuse Awareness Day.
World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Today is actually a very important day to acknowledge some of the challenges that our older people in our community face. We know that world elder abuse is a significant challenge in our communities, and unfortunately, a lot of the crimes that are perpetrated against our older people are unfortunately done from a loved one, an adult child. And predominantly the most common forms of elder abuse that are being experienced are financial abuse and emotional abuse. So today is an opportunity to launch our second phase of our campaign, which is There's No Excuse for Elder Abuse. This is a growing campaign, a very important campaign, focusing on predominantly those two main forms of abuse to really raise awareness out in our community and get people asking questions about what they might be seeing, what they might be experiencing, to really start coming forward and saying, hang on, we will not tolerate this kind of behaviour as a community and we will speak up. So this is a really great opportunity to take that time, have those conversations, talk to people in the community and really raise that awareness.
Radio Kota.
Here on Radio Kota, it's time for the news.
The Queensland Government has released the Queensland Housing Strategy 2017 to 2027, Building a Better Housing Future for All Queenslanders. This strategy is a 10-year framework driving key reforms and targeting investment across the housing market, redefining how the Queensland Government will deliver housing to support urban renewal, generate new jobs, provide affordable housing, and drive innovative housing design that responds to contemporary housing needs. It also ensures that those most in need are supported by a safety net of targeted early interventions, flexible packages of support, and supportive social housing. The objective of the strategy is for every Queenslander to have safe, secure and affordable homes that meet their needs and enables participation in social and economic life. More affordable and accessible housing is one of the key focuses of growth, and the government is committed to reducing the barriers to accessing and sustaining tenancies and delivering reforms in consumer protection, legislation and improved housing design. The government will also be introducing strategies that give people a voice and greater access to information to make decisions about their housing future. The government are investing $1.6 billion to deliver more social and affordable housing over the next 10 years. Within the first 5 years, the government is committed to deliver social housing in Cairns, Townsville, the Sunshine Coast, Moreton Bay, Brisbane, Logan, Redland, Ipswich, the Gold Coast and Toowoomba with a total of 2,972 social homes, including 60 new homes in central Queensland and 56 new homes in the Wide Bay Burnett area. Better access to suitable housing options, including home ownership opportunities for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, better protection through legislative reforms for older people living in retirement villages and residential parks, increased accessibility and adaptability of dwellings for older people living in public housing, supporting them to age in their homes, enhanced housing support for seniors through the implementation of service improvements addressing the issues raised by the Advisory Task Force on Residential Transition for Ageing Queenslanders. For more information on the Queensland Housing Strategy, please visit www.qld.gov.au or phone 13 7468. On the 13th of June, Queensland Treasurer Curtis Pitt handed down the 2017-18 state budget. Here's the brief version. The Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services' total expenditure budget is an increase of 10.5% over the 2016-17 budget. The government is providing additional funding over 3 years from 18 to 19 in recognition of increases to award rates for social and community services employees arising from Fair Work Australia's Equal Remuneration Order. A major highlight of the budget is additional $200 million funding package over 4 years to increase support for families and address pressures in the child protection system. The budget continues to deliver the government's commitment to the National Disability Insurance Scheme, the further investment of $9.2 million over 4 years to tackle domestic and family violence. The seniors' operating budget will increase by over 22% with a continued investment to deliver the Queensland and Age-Friendly Community Strategy, a $2.7 million boost over 3 years to expand elder abuse prevention and seniors' legal and support services to regional and remote areas, as well as the Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast, and funding to construct purpose-built accommodation for people with intellectual and/or cognitive disability who exhibit extremely challenging behaviour. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next time.
Radio COTA is produced by Riversong Productions for the Council on the Aging Queensland.
You're listening to Radio COTA.